KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Tundra, designed to combine performance and comfort with a 12,000-pound towing capacity and 10-speed automatic transmission. See your Toyota dealer for more. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, October 4th. Some South Bay residents will soon be contacted about the impact of the cross-border sewage spills. More on that next. But first, let's do the headlines. Tomorrow will be 1 month away from the election, and starting next week, registered voters in the county will start receiving their ballots in the mail. Early voting at the registrar's office also begins next week. For more information about the election, visit our newsroom's Voter Hub at kpbs.org/voterhub. More than 5 months after the Oceanside Pier caught on fire, demolition of the damage is about to begin.
Next on the pier is to start the scaffolding installation so that we can start bringing down the old Ruby's restaurant, the brine box, and remove the burned up planks so that we can take a look at the substructure of the pier, do a structural assessment, and find out what we need to rebuild.
Brian Thomas is Oceanside's city engineer. He says they will set up scaffolding on Monday underneath the pier to prevent debris from falling into the ocean. Mid-October is when the actual demolition is expected to start. Thomas doesn't expect long closures of the pier, but parking lot 29 will be closed to accommodate machinery. Demolition is expected to last through the end of this year. The Padres are in L.A. to face the Dodgers in the first game of the National League Division Series tomorrow. The Padres clinched a spot in the NLDS after sweeping the Atlanta Braves in the wild card round. The series is the best of five. The Padres were 8-5 against the Dodgers in the regular season. Game two of the NLDS series will also be played in L.A. on Sunday. Then the teams will head back to San Diego for game three on Tuesday at Petco Park. If game four and five are necessary, they will also be held next week. Go Padres! From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Later this month, the CDC and the county will be contacting some South Bay residents about how they are being impacted by the cross-border sewage spills. Reporter Andrew Dyer says it's all part of an effort to understand how people are affected.
In the South San Diego community of Nestor, county workers and volunteers are trying to get the word out about a new survey to assess the health impacts of Tijuana River Valley's sewage coming later this month. Seema Shah is the interim deputy public health officer for San Diego County. She says they've been preparing for the survey for several months.
We've been putting a lot of work in the background to make sure that we have all the right volunteers, because this is no small feat to be able to canvass 6,000 homes and then get ready for the CDC to arrive.
She says the next 2 weeks are really more of an awareness campaign. Shaw wants the community to understand what they're doing and for people to participate if asked.
We are pushing information out on social media. We have door hangers, they have QR codes, we have flyers.
More information about the survey and other efforts to address the problem is available on the county's website. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
President Joe Biden this week expanded his crackdown on asylum seekers at the southern border. Democrats credit the new measures for a big drop in illegal crossings. But border reporter Gustavo Solis says legitimate asylum seekers are being sent back to dangerous situations.
Apprehensions along the southern border have dropped dramatically since June. That's when President Joe Biden announced a series of executive actions that have all but blocked asylum for people who cross the border illegally. And leading up to the presidential election, Vice President Kamala Harris and her campaign surrogates are pointing to lower numbers as proof of their tough-on-border security bona fides. Here is Democratic San Diego Congressman Mark Levin on a local TV news station.
Really, in the last couple months, things have gotten much better. 48% reduction across the southern border.
The executive actions subject adults who cross the border illegally to a fast-track deportation process. Those who claim that sending them back home will put their lives at risk now have to pass a higher legal standard to establish a credible fear. The administration says that Biden's new rules are meant to weed out fraudulent asylum claims. But critics say that they've actually created a chaotic system in which people who would have had solid asylum claims just a few months ago are being deported to dangerous situations.
And so there are a lot of factors of why we're seeing numbers down, and it's not because people don't need help. It is because the people that need help are being literally blocked.
Margaret Cargioli is with the Immigrant Defenders Law Center. She says the new process is rushed. It doesn't give migrants access to lawyers or enough time to prepare their cases.
People are being processed and interviewed a lot more quickly than before.
The new process has sometimes left migrants detained in makeshift holding facilities. One of Cargioli's clients had to struggle with shoddy cell phone reception during her interview.
The asylum officer repeatedly asked my client to please, you know, speak up. We couldn't hear, you know, it was quite a few times. So there's those issues as well. And just the fact that it's just an interview over the phone, they're not allowed to present evidence, to have witnesses.
She says this new process results in questionable decisions, including family separation. Consider the plight of Angie, an indigenous woman who fled Colombia with her husband earlier this summer.
In Colombia, salimos siendo víctimas de violencia y desplazamiento forzado.
Angie says she and her husband were persecuted in Colombia because they're both indigenous. The couple faced violent threats from guerrilla groups trying to take their land.
No gustaban de mi forma de verme. Aquellos eran diferente color y yo.
They crossed the border illegally last summer and turned themselves in to Border Patrol agents in San Diego. The two were separated in custody. And even though they fled under identical circumstances, Angie was able to pursue her asylum claim while her husband was deported.
Últimamente he tenido como pesadillas. Sí, como me siento cansada. Como pesadillas y trato y me despierto muchas veces en la noche.
She says she hasn't been sleeping or eating lately, and she's constantly crying. Long-standing U.S. law explicitly says that anyone present in the country can apply for asylum, irrespective of how they entered the U.S. The ACLU and other advocacy groups have sued the Biden administration, claiming his new rules violate that law. Meanwhile, in the waning days of the election, Vice President Harris is doubling down on Biden's policies.
And if someone does not make an asylum request at a legal point of entry and instead crosses our border unlawfully, they will be barred from receiving asylum.
Immigrant advocates are dismayed by what they describe as a dramatic shift to the right.
If the border policy is meant to have no one have asylum, no, irrespective of what they suffer, then that's kind of the results we're getting.
Emily Robinson is an immigration lawyer based in Los Angeles. She's representing a Colombian woman who was kidnapped and sexually molested multiple times by multiple men.
Less than a week after her last gang rape, traveling between her home country of Colombia to the U.S., she was given less than 48 hours until she had her first credible fear interview.
Under normal circumstances, the woman could have been given more time to process her trauma, meet with her lawyer, and maybe even a therapist before that interview.
Usually when you have clients with this kind of trauma, if you're representing them, you know, you want to create a safe space that they feel comfortable sharing this information with you.
The asylum officer found her client's story credible, but denied her request to pursue an asylum claim because they didn't believe that she belonged to a persecuted group. Robinson is appealing the decision. But as things stand now, her client will be sent back to Colombia. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
San Dieguito Union High School District recently announced it is conducting an independent audit of all foundations associated with the district. North County reporter Alexander Wynn spoke with two students who published a report questioning the foundation's practices.
Kevin Wang and Li Tong Tian are high school seniors at Canyon Crest Academy. Over the summer, they collaborated on an investigation into the nonprofit Canyon Crest Academy Foundation, a nonprofit fundraising organization. Wang was the treasurer for the school's robotics team his sophomore year and noticed some irregularities in the foundation's bookkeeping.
What I saw in those records were pretty disturbing. For some years, they would take excess of $15,000 alone at the end of the year from the robotics team, the CCA Foundation.
According to their report, the foundation charges a 25% fee for student clubs, while other school foundations charge between 5 to 10%. The district declined to comment, but says in the posted announcement that all recent questions regarding the foundation's operations must be answered. The foundation disputed the students' findings, but did not offer any specifics. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
San Diegans can honor their lost pets with a Day of the Dead display at two county animal shelters. Anyone can bring a photo of their deceased pet to place on the ofrendas in the lobbies of the Bonita and Carlsbad shelters through November 2nd. The ofrendas will feature traditional decorations and marigolds, candles, and treats for those pets who have crossed the Rainbow Bridge. That's it for the podcast today. The podcast is produced by Emily Mohebi and edited by Brooke Ruth. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again on Monday to start the work week together with the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting the new 2024 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and up to a 262-mile range with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.